This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's time to talk to Robert Saleh. The Robert Saleh Report is brought to you by Nissan and DraftKings Sportsbook, and the head coach of the New York Jets joins us now on the show. Coach, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. After a loss like yesterday, Coach, how do you look at a positive side? Is there a positive side?
You know, it's. I always say whether you lose by one or 50, it doesn't matter. You lost. And vice versa for winning. It's the important thing is that you come to the building the next morning and you find ways to improve based off the tape that you see and the tape that we put out, coaches, players, everybody. So it's a tough pill to swallow, obviously, when you get punched in the mouth the way we did yesterday. But the urgency at which we try to get better doesn't change.
Do you believe it was a coaching problem yesterday?
No. You know, I think it's an – You know, when you get punched that way, I mean, it's everybody's got to look in the mirror from top down. So it's, you know, it's something that we'll continue to get better at, and something obviously we've got to fix.
Now, this is not an easy question to ask, but all the stories, all the prognosticators and the experts in the papers, and everybody's blaming LaFleur, saying that he's in over his head, a rookie offensive coordinator, he's being outcoached. You're the boss. Do you see that with your offensive coordinator?
No, you know, yesterday I thought they came in. I thought our offense did a really nice job with the game plan, and you know, aside from the first series, you know, that second series we had a nice 12-play drive. We resulted in a missed field goal. The third series resulted in a touchdown. The fifth series coming out of the fourth series, we're in field goal range. We lose it on downs. First series coming out of the locker room, touchdown. So the ball was being moved in that within the first six series. And then even that seventh series, we're in field goal range and getting ready to go score again. And, you know, Mike overthrows Griffin for his first interception. So the ball was moving. We had a chance to generate points. We just weren't scoring, obviously. But, it you know, it just shows that, you know, the offense is capable of moving. It's just a matter of finishing.
The defense played so well early, Coach, not so much lately, especially yesterday. What do you think has been wrong with the defense?
Yesterday was tough. Not in a million years that I think that would happen, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's obviously a lot of things that we got to look at, and making sure that we're asking our guys to do things that allow them to unlock all their athleticism. And so obviously it's always going to start. You know, I always challenge people in moments of adversity to look in the mirror and self-reflect. And so obviously with coaching, we're going to go back to the drawing board and make sure that we're asking our players to do things that help them unlock all their athleticism. And that's really, really the gist of it. But not in a million years that I think yesterday would happen, to be honest with you.
Is it hard to believe for you that, you know, six games now, your defense does not have one interception, the only team in the NFL without an interception?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we've been unlucky. You know, Quincy had one in his hands yesterday, couldn't quite come through with it. You know, throughout the course of the year, I think we've had three legitimate opportunities that we're averaging three legitimate opportunities a game to get some interceptions, and it's just not going our way. You know, there's a lot of things that coincide with that in terms of complementary football and getting teams to press a little bit. And, you know, we had opportunities against Tennessee when we were battling in that game. And, you know, when they're forced to throw, and it's all encompassing. And when we do have opportunities to intercept the ball, like we have had this season, we've got to be able to come down with them. And, you know, eventually during the season, it's going to balance out, but hopefully sooner than later.
Are you – I know this is the kind of thing, Coach, that you probably say you don't care about, but it's something that people are saying today and something we've heard in the past with this team. People seem to get upset that you're not showing emotion on the sideline. Certainly heard some from you in the presser today. But how do you respond to that when people say they're not seeing emotion from you on the sideline?
Well, it depends on what kind of emotion are you looking for. If, yesterday there wasn't a lot of great moments to celebrate, but you know, it's I've never been somebody to show anger at a player, because when something goes wrong, I'm immediately looking, trying to self-reflect and figure out exactly what we said. And I'm challenging coaches to figure out exactly what was said to make the player do exactly what they did. And that's where my mind goes first. So in moments of negative moments, I'm not looking at the player to try to embarrass him on national television or embarrass a player and make him feel worse than he already does for making a mistake. I'm trying to figure out exactly what was said to the player so we can get it right, so he can get playing the way we know he can play. And that's my process. Now, if it's a great play, obviously all the boxes were checked and everything aligned and that play happened. And that is a very joyful moment for me. But as far as like the emotion and all that, if people are looking for a clipboard throwing and all that, that's just not, you'll never see that.
Take me through your thought process, Coach, with not having an established veteran backup to a rookie quarterback. So Zach gets hurt yesterday, and from what we hear, 2 to 4 weeks, so it's as good a news as could have been. But the guy who comes in had never thrown an NFL pass in a regular season game. What was the thinking of the organization not to have a veteran guy there for that kind of situation?
You know, there's Josh Johnson is here. He's been in the league quite a while, and he's had success in this league. He's 36 years old, so there is a veteran in the room. As far as Mike White's concerned, he's been throughout OTAs and training camp, he has proven time and time again that he is capable of running an NFL offense. He can play quarterback. He can do the little things. He's got great command of the huddle. He's got great understanding of the offense and going through his progressions. And he proved it yesterday. He stepped in off the bench, and he led, in our mind, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drives in the scoring range. Unfortunately, we were not able to finish. And so, and hopefully with a week's worth of practice, he's able to convert some of those drives into points. But again, he did a really nice job yesterday, and he proved to us that he's very capable of playing this game and playing quarterback in this league. And now hopefully with a week of practice, he can prove it again.
Will you bring in a quarterback for 2 to 4 weeks with Zach out? Will you bring in another quarterback, or will Johnson just move up?
So that's something that we're going to talk to. I'll be able to get a chance to talk with Joe about, and we'll know more later in the week. Obviously, if this is a IR situation for Zach, we're still hopeful that he can make it back for Buffalo, which is 2 weeks away. But that's going to be later down the line in terms of how Zach is progressing and the different things that we can do roster-wise to take advantage of the 53.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, part of being a coach is being kind of a pop psychologist. So when you're dealing with this team that's 1-5, just lost their starting quarterback possibly for the next 4 weeks, is there work to do on their mind, Coach, to just not have them lose focus and continue to work hard when it looks like the season's slipping away?
So, you know, I just talked about this one. You know, the professional players, I've knock on wood, I've been in the league a while, and I've been on some of the worst teams. I've been on some of the best teams. It's been a mixed bag. And one thing that I do know is that these players have tremendous pride in what they put on tape every week. 31 other teams are seeing their tape, and they know what's at stake every time that they put on a uniform and step in the white lines and play football. And so the amount of preparation that these guys go through, the records, is it disappointing? Absolutely. Are they upset? Are they frustrated? Absolutely. But does that mean that people quit? I promise you, if there's someone who quits, they're so visible and they stick out so badly that they're just not here anymore. And so for the most part, in my experiences, I've never, ever seen a team quit. These guys, we have a team of great character, and they're, you know, they showed up today. They're going to put in the work. They're going to work their tails off at practice. They're going to show up on Sunday and put their best foot forward and do everything they can to get better. And that is every team I've ever been on. And so, you know, obviously everyone's disappointed with the record, but it doesn't mean people are going to cash it in.
A couple of quick hits before we let you go, Coach. the whole idea was to try to score in the first quarter. You had a couple of weeks to get ready for it, the bye week. Were you kind of surprised that what they came up with was two runs up the middle for no gain, and then, you know, you put Wilson in that situation where third and long he has to pass, and I think it was a minus eight. Well, why was it such a lack of imagination for that first drive?
You know, there's you feel good about going into a game plan, your first two plays, your top two runs against their scheme. Obviously, it didn't go the way we wanted it to go, and we're stuck in the third and eight or whatever it was, and still had a chance to get a conversion there. Just it didn't work out. But obviously, the second drive just breathed a little bit, puts together a 12-play drive, and we're kicking a field goal at the end of the first quarter, I think we missed it right. Very following drive touchdown. So I do think the offense did a really nice job during the break putting together a plan. Did it work out in the first drive? No, but did it work out in that first half? I do think so, especially the start of the second half. You know, we move the ball. It's just finishing. And, Mike finished off the drive that Zach started with a touchdown to get us to 17-7. And now we're in field goal range again on fourth and one and with a chance to finish with the ball at the half, 24-10 or 24-14, depending on how the game, on how the drive finishes, with the ball to start the second half, score, and now it's either 24-17 or 24-21. So it's like it's that close in my mind to being a completely different game when it's fourth and one. And I know a lot of people see it differently, but that those are the facts. And the offense was moving the ball. It just, you know, we've got to take advantage and we've got to make the critical plays when they matter.
Did it bother you in the fourth quarter with a big lead that Belichick was still throwing?
No, you know, it's the NFL. Like, it's not like it's Alabama versus William & Mary. I mean, it's the NFL. We're professional athletes. If you don't want to get scored on, you got to stop them. Is this something I would do? Probably not, but to each his own.
And we knew this was going to be, you know, a tough year. You know, I mean, you're trying to build something. Coach, did you think it was going to be this tough?
No, you know, in a perfect world, your days like this don't happen, right? I mean, it's those are facts. You want to be in it in the fourth quarter. You want those teachable moments in crunch time where you're a play away from winning a football game, or you make the like Tennessee game, Carolina game, even the Atlanta game, where right there in the fourth quarter, make a play. Get a stop so we can get the ball back and see what happens. Like there's teachable moments. So yesterday obviously is not ideal, and it's not something that we expect to happen often.
And I have seen Alabama throw against William & Mary up by 50, so it does happen there too.
Same tree.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Same tree. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's today's Robert Saleh Report, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code GREEN for a special offer when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Did anybody get any of that? Did you catch it? I wouldn't have done it, he said, number one.
Yeah.
And then when I said that Alabama does do that against the teams, he goes, same tree. He's not happy.
No, he's
that'll
not
be
happy,
filed
but,
away.
But I love the fact he didn't complain about it, because when you complain about it, it just makes it so much worse. Because then what you are saying is, we are William & Mary. Leave us alone. Stop hurting us. Come on, let's just get out of here. You're a professional football team. You don't want to have it happen, so just go out there and stop it. You don't have to. They didn't have to allow that completion at the goal line. They could have stopped them on that first and goal. So I understand being upset about it because you're getting embarrassed. But at the same time, when you complain about it, I think you make it worse. So I think he handled it very well. But he did drop some code to let you know it bothered him.
Now, LaFleur is talking right now to the assembled media. And although Robert said it's not a coaching problem, he said when LaFleur said when things don't happen, it's on the coaches. And then he was, I'm quoting from Brian Costello's Twitter feed. He said the two running plays opened the game was to ease Zach Wilson into the game. Also said, when we're not executing, that is on coaching. Well, but the whole idea was to get off to a good start. You're easing him into the game with two runs right into the line.
Right. Well,
was not very imaginative for 2 weeks of planning.
But what does that tell you? That tells you that, you know, our quarterback might be a little shell-shocked. Like, we've got to ease him into the game. Like, we're thinking, all right, you got to get off to a good start. You got to throw the ball downfield. Are they admitting that maybe we don't have a quarterback that's ready? in that first drive to chuck the ball downfield, that we need to have two run plays up the middle to ease them into the game. Well, I'm sorry, it's a big boy league now. You're the worst team in football. Maybe end up being the worst team in the history of football in the first quarter. Is that an admission that the reason you are is because you've got a quarterback that needs to be eased into the game that sometimes makes simple mistakes early that can cost you? I want to see this kid get better. I don't want to be spoon-fed going into week seven. This is the second time he's taken on the Patriots.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. And by the way, a New York football team won yesterday. We'll talk about the Giants victory as well.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants did.
Sure they did.
Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.